guys, how are you enjoying the city of Victoria? We're walking down Douglas Street. We're checking out all these little cool cafes, all the custom roasters. And
it's awesome.
It's great, but I can't find that guy you sent me for.
I know. We've been looking everywhere for this guy, and I have no idea where he is.
Who are you looking for? I'm a little confused now.
Well, at one point, remember, you told us that when you come out to visit you,
we should be looking for BC Bud.
Ask around for BC Bud, which I'm assuming is a good coffee roaster or some kind of poutine truck or something like that. And you said all over, you know what, no matter where you go, you're going to find this guy, BC Bud.
I keep asking, and everybody here just looks at me like I'm crazy.
Well, not that one guy, though. He pulled out like a bag of oregano or something.
Yeah, that was
like
weird.
Spices. That was weird.
Just look around the street. There's a couple stores here that sell BC Bud.
Oh.
Yeah, you can walk right in and buy it.
It's not a guy?
No, it's not a guy.
I thought it was a guy.
I don't want to buy a guy.
No. That's weird. Okay, you know what? Forget this. Why don't we just go sit down, find some coffee, and have
real
a conversation
coffee.
About
real this. Coffee.
You can explain to us what the heck you're talking about.
Welcome to Carnivore Theology, a podcast that answers questions about the Christian faith to help you grow from milk to meat, to grow into a wise, skilled, world-changing follower of Jesus Christ, with theologian and pastor Chad Graham, author and pastor Al Desjardins, and your host, Steve Bastian.
So, here in BC, we're right next to Washington State, and something recently they allowed legally, you know, if you might remember the news, at New Year's, I think a year and a half ago, they allowed marijuana to be sold virtually anywhere. And BC has very much had that tradition kind of going on for a while. Goes back to the 60s and 70s, I understand, from some of the old-time musicians I played with that tell me great stories. But it's readily available. And even in our own town, you can barely walk more than two blocks without smelling it at some point. And it's sold in multiple communities. There's stores selling it. Anyone can walk in, buy stuff. You don't even necessarily always need a license anymore from your doctor. It's pretty available. So we've had a few people ask questions. Al, you know, you have someone that's had some discussions with you. I know some people have asked me, does the Bible allow the use of marijuana?
You know, it actually is a pertinent issue. It had never come up in my ministry until I came to a small church in the middle of nowhere. And suddenly now all the...
With all
the
farmers and growers
coming out of the woodwork. It's crazy. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, where all the cornfields, quote unquote, cornfields are.
Yeah.
No, actually, it's really interesting because I grew up in a town where apparently there were lots of drugs, but I never experienced any. And so I went through Bible school and then I went to some old Cleveland and didn't come across anything. But now here, it seems to be more and more and more prevalent. Every year I hear more and more people or that have done it. And so it's actually a huge topic, this idea of marijuana and Christianity. It seemed to me that it was a no-brainer because I knew the answer all along. I was like, of course, drugs are bad. I mean, I grew up listening to 80s PSAs that told me drugs are bad. The Ninja Turtles told me drugs are bad. We all know
drugs
are
bad. Drugs.
So for me, it wasn't really a question, but it actually is. There's a lot of Christians and a lot of people in the church and around that are confused about this topic. So I'm really glad we're covering it.
I mean, the question that most people ask of carnivore theology is it possible to be allowed biblically? is there a loophole? I really want you guys...
Here, hold on. Let me get some stats quick, because I went and looked up some 2012 stats online. This is
2016, Al.
I know, but this is the best I could find, okay? So, in Canada at the time, there were 3.4 million users in Canada. 3.4 million.
So, about 10% of the population.
20% of the people aged 15 to 17 did it within the past year. The average age of introduction for marijuana was 15 years old. Here's what, ready to have your socks blown off? 225,000 people aged 12 to 17 use it daily.
Wow.
3% of kids in grade 7 smoked marijuana in the past year. Canada produces 2.6 million kilograms of it in 215,000 grow ops employing 500,000 people. This is not a small industry. This is a huge industry in Canada. It is hugely affecting giant swaths of people all the way across the nation. And we're talking about introduction at age 15. So we're talking, there are kids 12 years old that are using this stuff. Mm-hmm. And so they're part of our churches, without question. If you got 3.4 million users in Canada, some of them are going to our churches. Okay. Some of them are your teachers. Some of them are your students. So this is a critical issue that affects a ton of people just in Canada. Okay. So the question is, you know, if we're biblical people, and the question is, I'm assuming our listeners are Christians, or they're interested in what the Bible has to say about it. So the question is, if I take my brain out of this and my idea out of it, and I don't get to pick, I have to ask the question, what does God think of this? Right.
It's an excellent question. I think what you're going to have to do with something like this is going to have to be a biblical theology answer. So good news, I just got a doctorate in that. So
like all doctors, it always comes down to whatever their specialism.
I can solve that for you. I have a doctorate.
I have a great book on this that you can purchase for.
Yeah, that's right.
No, in all seriousness, it's a big issue.
What's the prescription, Chad?
Yeah, what's the prescription? The prescription is don't do drugs. Here is the issue, and I did a little research today just for some confirmation for my own peace of mind, although I've looked at it before. Younger people, this is typically an issue that is mostly addressed to younger people, I think, as LSTATS pointed out. And we're an internet, I'm putting myself in the younger people cool category. We're an internet savvy, new world way of looking at things. And a lot of people look on the internet and try and get their information from there. And one of the things that you learn as you do more advanced research is just how dangerous that is. The internet is a beautiful thing, but it's a absolute mess as far as trying to get accurate information. So every college class you ever take, the one resource that you are clearly not allowed to use is
Wikipedia.
And there's a lot of Wikipedia level stuff out there on this information. So I went to the most reliable kinds of websites. I went to AHS, the Alberta Health Services website. I went to government websites. So basically, here's the deal. The medical community is in total agreement. The policing community is in total agreement. The government research bodies are in total agreement. Marijuana is a very serious drug. It's not like the little brother of drugs. It has very serious side effects, particularly for young people. It can lead to permanent mental disability. One of the fundamental things about marijuana use, and particular regular marijuana use, is that it strips your ability to reason at any time, even when you're not on the drug. So if you're a marijuana user, you can stop listening to this podcast now, because none of the rest of the things we say will make any sense to you.
And after you're done, you won't remember it anyway. Yeah.
But here are some things that are really scary. If you're a regular user of marijuana, it is very likely that you will have and experience hallucinations, paranoia, and possibly schizophrenia. These are all medically demonstrated side effects. And I've seen them in my pastoral counseling ministry, talking to people who have gone through some very horrible things. And it is dangerous and it is deadly. Now, this doesn't mean you tried once at a party and now your life is ruined. This is somebody who is regularly partaking. So when we look at the seriousness of the drug, what its long-term effects are, that's an issue. But what the drug is actually doing is that it's taking a complex chemical reaction that is taking control of your body and allowing it to do something else. And the Bible speaks to this on a very regular basis. We usually see it used in terms of alcohol in Scripture, because that was the common way in which it was used. But you have to abuse alcohol to get to the same place that basically any drug use is at. And so when you read the passages like Ephesians 5:18, don't be drunk with wine, which leads to dissipation, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit, or Paul saying, I will not be brought under the control of anything except for the Holy Spirit. These kinds of verses, these verses would create a theology that says this: we're to be in control of ourselves. We're to be of a sound mind. We're to be sober-minded. Drunkenness is a sin. Drug use, which impairs us in a manner like drunkenness, is a sin. So I think that's a kind of a pattern that we can easily pull from the Bible. It doesn't say kids don't do drugs, but contextually it does when it says don't put yourself into a position of debauchery. And a second and just auxiliary point to that is that our bodies are created by God and owned by God. And as Christians, we devote them to God, to his service. And so if we ruin our bodies and ruin our minds so that we're incapable of reason and incapable of serving him, that's a disservice to God.
Right. I can honestly say I've met people who have used marijuana who have permanent serious side effects, especially young teens and in my school, with the school I work with. So anyways, Al, do you have some points you want to add on to that?
Yeah. Not Al has nothing to say. As you know, Al typically just sits silently through these podcasts.
Yeah, you know, it's almost well, like he's bottling it up. I'm
look at him shake and twitch.
I could feel you transitioning to the next question, and I just wanted to pause there because
I know
I wanted to keep covering this question of the biblical response. Okay, so let me hit some points here. Number one, right now it's illegal. Okay,
that's
so
a very
the Bible
good point.
Says Romans 13 that we have to obey the law. And that we are under the authority of the law. And most people who are listening right now, if you smoke marijuana, you're breaking the law. You're breaking God's law and you're breaking man's law because you don't have prescription, okay?
And that's a good point, Al, because those go together. We typically like to separate that and say, well, that's some rule that a person made, right? That's not what those verses say.
Well, that's exactly it, right? And so, but it's both, and you're breaking both. Most people that are doing that right now. Now, so if the question is, in Canada, which is a big discussion, when it becomes legal, so the question, okay, man's law suddenly goes away. Now it's legal. You can use it, say, let's say they make it recreationally usable, as in, like, you're going to get people like Du Maurier, the cigarette companies, and they start producing marijuana smokes, which is, if they legalize, you know, big tobacco is going to be getting involved in that and making a ton of money.
If you listen to Albert Mueller, apparently they've already been huge investing into the states of Washington and Colorado in that department.
Of course they have. And they do not have your best interests in mind. They just know that it's a new product and they're good at making it. So the question is, if it becomes legal, is it biblical? Does it break God's law? So a lot of people would say that because the Bible doesn't say anything about weed, Chad's already covered this, but it doesn't mean that it's not something that we can do. Like, there's a lot of things that aren't covered in the Bible. Like, meth isn't in the Bible. Cocaine isn't in the Bible. Heroin isn't in the Bible. And therefore, nobody's advocating for those, which is why Chad said the little brother of drugs, right? But we're saying it still is drugs. So if we, just for now, Steve, let's set aside this idea of medical use and just concentrate on what most people use it for. And this is where it comes up in pastoral application.
But there's a handful of people in Canada who are authorized for medical use, Al. Mm-hmm. We should focus the podcast entirely on them.
No, hold on. Because most people that are going to be using this stuff are using it as a mood-altering drug.
Yeah.
They're seeking euphoria. It doesn't make you more attentive to reality. They're not trying to get more attentive to reality. They're actually trying to become more oblivious to reality.
Yep.
See, that's why the argument, well, isn't it just like coffee? Isn't it just like caffeine? Isn't it the same as if you have your coffee, well, I have my marijuana? It's not the same thing, because even though, yes, I realize it's slippery slope, and that we can get all the way to amphetamines that, you know, kind of drive you, but marijuana itself cloud your judgment and impinge your ability to make decisions. That's what it does. A person who's on marijuana, even though I've never done it myself, I've known a few people that have, that what they're seeking to do is check out of reality.
Al has a friend.
I have a friend.
I
have a friend. That what they're trying to do is check out of reality. They're actually taking the drugs so they won't have bad feelings, so they won't think uncomfortable thoughts, so they can ignore their responsibilities, so they can remove their inhibitions and do something that they are uncomfortable doing. In short, they're taking parts of their mind and they're turning them off, big broad strokes of their brain and turning them off. And that is biblically wrong. If you smoke marijuana, you're actually messing with who God created you to be. So I want to tell you a few things, including what Chad learned, and I'll try to skip over those parts, but from these medical and government websites, not just thingsthatbaptisthates.com, you know what I mean? It's not just like howtobeaboringchristian.ca. Like, I'm talking about like actual medical websites.
Only dance from the hips up and don't use the marijuanas.
Be careful.
Baptist 101.
Let me lay it down here, okay? So if your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that's who you are as a human being, breaking it down to the most simple, basic complex, when you take in marijuana smoke, you're actually breathing in a whole bunch of toxic chemicals too, okay? So you're doing damage to yourself, your lungs. That's why that people cough and wheeze. It makes your eyes bloodshot because it screws with your circulatory system. So it's bad for your body. it causes your brain to dump out something called dopamine, which is a feel-good chemical that we all like so much. We get it eating Pringles, and we get it doing drugs.
So when people call me a dope, it's a compliment that I'm a feel-good guy? Now I get it.
Yeah, but you're my dope.
You're so dope, Chad.
You're a dopamine, yeah. The drug itself actually changes the way you process information and form memories. So therefore, if it impairs your concentration, your motor coordination, impairs your reaction time, and actually long-term use can kill your IQ and your ability to make decisions, messing with your mind, how can you, as Chad said, be self-controlled and alert while you're high? It's literally impossible. You've messed with that part. Now, if you're bringing on hallucinations and paranoia and anxiety and you're driven to depression because it's messing with your brain chemicals, and if you have any mental illness in your history, it can drive you to psychosis or schizophrenia. It messes with your ability, and this is, I've known people like this, it messes with your ability to actually get motivated to do anything because your brain can't process the excitement chemicals it used to get in order to get you out of bed in the morning to go do things. You can't get motivated to do anything, so you're affected emotionally too. So that's body, and that's mind, and that's heart. Now, think of these principles that you would have that you would put towards drunkenness. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. If Paul says your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, then that means you're sacred. Mm-hmm. Your mind and body has been given to you for a mission. If you are meant to be in love with God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor and serve your church and serve your family, will marijuana, any kind of recreational use of marijuana, make that better? No. It'll make you worse at that. You cannot be a good father, mother, friend, brother, sister, missionary, teacher, musician, worker, or anything else God created you to be if you're high. So if you take this drug to alter your mood, it's no different than anybody who abuses alcohol, because all you're seeking is temporary relief from a problem. It will literally make you worse at everything. It doesn't make you sharper. It doesn't make you more empowered as a mom, dad, friend, employee, citizen. It actually makes you more dull, especially if you use it over time. It actually takes away more as you use it. So all the same verses about drunkenness can be applied to marijuana. Do you see that? And all the things you're commanded to do and that you're obligated to do and that you have the benefit of doing, the spiritual gifts you've been given and the mission you've been given in life, you can't do as well. It's not a small thing. It's a big thing. I mean, and you could get into ruining your reputation. You can get into destroying your ability to protect your family. You can get into your inability now to cope with any kind of stress. It destroys your ability to fight temptation. I mean, it really impacts every area of your life. Not to mention the fact that we haven't even got into the fact that it can be idolatrous, because now you're turning to that instead of prayer, instead of scripture, instead of church. You're turning to that. You can't calm down. You can't go to bed. You can't be with your spouse. Whatever it is, unless you're high, that is idolatry par excellence.
And I think, Al, one of the points that you made that I want to just jump onto and expand a little bit again is the idea of altering your mood. I wanted to give just a general overview at the beginning, and I'm glad that you brought that up. One of the ways in which the ancient world concerned itself with altering its mood and seeking a religious experience was through something that our Bibles typically translate as magic or sorcery. The Greek word behind it, and to give you an example, Galatians chapter 6, Revelation chapter 6, both use this. And what they say is that God is against sorcery, but the word behind it is pharmakeia, from which we get the word pharmacy. And ancient magicians, what they actually were, they weren't Harry Potter lights. In fact, the Harry Potter kind of magic is rooted in medieval Christian theology. Magic in the ancient world was an attempt to manipulate the divine realm in order to change your circumstances and surroundings and mood. And so one of the things that pharmacias did was they mixed herbs in order to make mood, mind, and reality-altering concoctions, which people then used. Now, this is very much like the LSD experiments that were done in the 60s and 70s, which were seen to have a very religious experience. And so one of the most interesting things scripturally-wise is, well, those things relating to drunkenness can in principle and ought to in principle be applied. These verses actually can be directly applied, so that God actually directly forbids the use of mood-altering herbs and says those who practice them will not enter the kingdom of heaven. It's in the category of sin.
Well, it's actually even tied to, as you said, religion and the idea of touching God. If these drugs, and this is still happening today. Yes. I mean, we had a question today about, you know, Rastafarianism, but there's a ton of issues right now. There's this poor young lady that's on YouTube right now who is pushing this. I can't remember what the name of the drug is, but basically the idea is it makes her feel closer to God. It touches her in such a way that she can feel more spiritual. And this is using chemicals, using chemical agents as not an act of worship, but as a way to touch the spiritual realm is incredibly dangerous.
Yeah.
Incredibly dangerous.
And it's not so much even just that direct idolatry, because while the ancient world had like actual idols sitting there that they did this before, we're seeking to satisfy the yearning that is within us for union with God with these mood altering drugs.
Yeah. Which, I mean, if you have even a dose of common sense, you realize that is a massive problem.
By the way, I think I said in my head, I just remembered, I think I said Galatians 6, but I meant Galatians 5, 19 to whatever, 21. So just a little note on that. Go, Steve.
Yeah, I think you guys have made it pretty clear that recreational use, absolutely not allowed.
Drugs are bad. Drugs are bad.
But
I hear a butt coming.
I hear a butt, yes.
A bud?
But.
A butt.
BC bud?
But what about, there's two things here I want you to chat about. Yeah. The medical use, and also there's the huge environmental factor of the hemp fibers, and the fact that it's one of the best producing fiber plants in the world.
Well, Al, even you could answer that question.
Trees are good, and we should make rope out of them and stuff, and walls, go nuts, make whatever you want. Shirts are super awesome. Don't smoke your shirt if, you know, like, yeah.
Yeah, in fact, the Royal Navy used hemp in ropes for their sailing ships for many years because of its excellent.
Nothing, there's absolutely nothing wrong with any hemp materials. I mean, hemp oil or whatever like that kind of stuff that you rub on your hand or.
But isn't there a passage in Deuteronomy that says you can't mix your hemp with your wool or something like that?
Yeah, but it's okay. We're New Covenant now. Oh, okay, you're all right. You may have forgotten since you've been a totally different doctorate. Okay. Okay, now, in answer to your question, medical marijuana. Okay, now,
medical marijuana. So, I'm talking about, say, epilepsy. It's known to make dramatic effects against uncontrolled epilepsy.
Well, it's thought to. It's not significantly tested.
There are medical conditions that have been proven, and there are people that are in physical pain that they've tried everything else, and they find that when they take a hit of marijuana, it actually relieves their symptoms of pain or whatever it is. Okay, now I'm specifically talking about pain here. I mean, the reason they use glaucoma is because it relaxes whatever up there, and it actually is able to help with glaucoma.
Opens the blood vessels and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, but historically speaking, you'd have a lot of Christians, especially like old school Baptists like me, which would say, you know what? No, marijuana always bad forever. Drugs are bad. But at the same time, you can't do that now because there are actually a lot of decent claims about the medical benefits of marijuana. Here's the issue, okay? Mm-hmm. Here's the issue. There are tons of prescriptions given out to people who have absolutely no physiological problems and don't need it at all. It's being prescribed en masse to people who don't need it, who don't require it, to get around the legal so they can get high. And all of that is sin, and that is an issue.
But that's a different issue. That's bad. Right?
So let's talk about the individual who says he needs it, who has tried everything else, and he's not trying to get high. He's not trying. He is a Christian. He's not going to become an addict. He's just using it. Is that okay? Now, we move past the smoke screen, pardon the pun, and we get into the reality here. So medically, yes, it's no different than trying to use an opiate, like codeine or morphine. But here's the thing, a lot of research needs to be done.
Yeah.
The problem is, it is hard right now to use marijuana as medicine because it's hard to determine dosage. How much of the active ingredient are you actually getting, whether it's THC or CBD, in one puff or one joint, depending on the plant and depending on the grower and depending on how big your roll is and all the rest of that stuff, it's completely a mess. If you go to the store or the pharmacy, they will give you 25 milligrams or 5 milligrams or 100 milligrams of the active ingredient, and they know what's in it.
And they make a big deal out of it, too. It's not like you can just take five or one.
Yeah, no. And don't mix it with this and don't mix it with that and have it in the morning and don't drink it with orange juice and stuff. All that research and whatnot isn't there because it was illegal. That all that research isn't there yet. As much as these crazy websites want to say it is, and they want to give a list of 45 things that it's good for, all that stuff is, most of it is just total garbage. Because it's not proven. There hasn't been scientific research done on this stuff. And it's really not regulated at all. There's no...
But in principle, Al, what you're saying, and I would agree with you, is, of course, if under medical supervision, this is felt to be a reasonable drug to be prescribed for the relief of pain, da-da-da-da, of course it's fine. And we use all kinds of dangerous things medically. Yeah. I do agree with you, Al. I mean, the one thing is, with any drug... whether you're being given Vicodin or whatever, it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not, you're very capable of being addicted to it. That's one of the problems with them. That's why they're treated carefully. So when we make decisions to take these medications, and marijuana would be, again, it's one of the things. In fact, the AHS has a whole presentation on this. One of the myths of marijuana is that it's a light drug. It's not. It's in the high category of serious heavy drugs.
And not just because Mrs. Reagan said it was. That's all just such a horrible, you know, it really is a big deal. Yeah.
So
as much as they want to make it not a big deal, it's a big deal.
So if you get prescribed Vicodin because you need it for pain, that's totally legit. But that is a dangerous drug that needs to be treated with respect. And I think the same would be done for marijuana. So as a Christian, literally zero problems. But I'm really skeptical today, as you indicated, Al. A lot of this movement is really about getting around the illegality of the drug. The legit person suffering, I want help. And if that helps them, great.
Like, so much of it is so sketchy.
I mean, I know of two stories have been told to me directly by people. As you guys would say, a friend who have checked out medical marijuana. And both of them said the first place that they went to was very sketchy. Even the doctor's office felt like it was like a sketchy office. And one of the...
Yeah, I don't think mainstream medicine has really got on board with this.
No.
No.
I know...
There's a good reason for that.
And the other person I know who's in this actually kept on going back to the doctor to get another referral to another cannabis doctor until they found one that was a professional. Like very
interesting.
Very clear professional... I was able to give them clear answers and also was very honest with saying, we don't know about this. We don't know about that. But this is the best street, you know, place in Canada for this kind of stuff. Here's a prescription for that. We're going to start you on the right path.
I'm guessing those guys are few and far between.
They're few and far between by the sounds of it. And even though medical marijuana might be allowed, I agree. It's a very unregulated thing. It can be very dangerous.
But that's something between you and your doctor. And if you're under medical supervision, we would have no opinion, or I would have no opinion on whether that's right for you or not. That's a doctor's job.
Yep.
Okay. Do you guys have a quick rule of thumb for people that are looking at the medical side of that? You kind of talked about pain. Do you want to just make a quick rule of thumb that it's easy to remember?
Yeah. Work with your doctor, not with your favorite podcaster.
This is drugsaregood.com.
I mean, that's it. If you're talking about the medical side, don't listen to me.
Yeah, sorry, real doctor. Well, okay, I'll say this. When you go to anything and you're looking at decisions, you know, it's not just, is this sinful, is this not sinful? How about, is it wise, is it unwise? Is it helpful? Is it unhelpful? Does it build people up or does it tear people down? Does it help your reputation in the community to share the gospel or does it destroy your reputation? Does it glorify God or does it take you away from God? Does it help you be self-controlled and alert and fight temptation and take care of your family and take care of your friends or does it tear that apart? So you really have to ask yourself these questions about this stuff. It is not a small deal. It's a big deal. And as much as the pundits and the commercials and all the rest of that want to just make it a small deal and claim how wonderful it is and how magical it is and how miraculous it is and how not a big deal it is, it's actually kind of a big deal. It really is. You got to take it seriously.
And I would say all on that, the idea of how magical it is, that's exactly the language that the Bible was picking up on and the other thing was talking about. There's a long history in all cultures of using mind and mood altering drugs. That's what's called magic traditionally. That's what sorcery is. So I think and that has always been set up as an alternative to Christian spirituality. The real drug if you want to put it that way, is Christ. C.S. Lewis said, the only difference between the Christian myth and all of the myths is that the Christian myth is true. And now I'm not talking about the buzz you get from drugs, but I'm talking about the reality that you're seeking through drugs. The escape from the present condition of life, the desire for some greater experience. The true drug is Christ.
Okay, so for a second I thought you were on drugs. I'm like, what?
Where are you going with this, man?
I mean, at communion we have these very special wafers.
I'm like, what? But yeah, okay. So I love that concept, that idea of that which you are looking for. For example, security, freedom from fear, desire for intimacy, freedom from the your inhibitions and all the things that are holding you back, or a desire for community, or whatever it is, all those things that you're desiring and you're using marijuana to get, those are found properly in Christ. Those are found properly in church.
Well, thank you so much, guys, for looking at this topic and joining me here in beautiful BC.
It's so gorgeous.
Hopefully we don't get a secondary high when we leave this coffee shop and go around the corner in front of the local dispensary here. So
right next to the other local dispensary, right next to the other local dispensary.
Yeah, there's
right
a lot of them down here. So
yeah.
Hey, Steve, I think there is some kind of folk music festival over here. It says Puff the Magic Dragon Cafe.
Oh, far out. I love that song. Let's go. Hey. We should totally go.
Guys.
No. Hey.
No. Don't go there.
Yeah.
No.
To find out more about carnivore theology, or if you've got any topics or questions you'd like us to cover on upcoming episodes, let us know by visiting our website, www.carnivoretheology.com. You can also leave a message on our SpeakPipe page. That's at www.speakpipe.com/carnivoretheology. If you like what we're doing, please share with your church and friends. Like us on Facebook, rate and subscribe to us on iTunes, or subscribe to our YouTube channel. We encourage you to connect with your local biblical church and keep your eyes on the cross.
He's right, drug dealers are dorks. Don't even talk to him.
Okay, last time. This is drugs. This is the brain
of thousands of young people into experimenting with a noxious weed. The facts are otherwise.
Any questions?
With theologian and doctor
Chad
Graham, author and passenger.
Good old passenger
Desjano. It's like a pastor, just with less letters. Yeah,
just passenger.
And me, your host, the third wheel, Steve Bastion.
Third wheel.
Steve the edumacator Bastion.
Today we look, does the Bible allow the use of marijuana?
It's marijuana, Steve.
Yeah, marijuana.
Okay.
Cannabis.
Yeah.
Mary Jane, BC Bud, the Puff the Magic Dragon. What else?
Sticky Icky. I don't know. I grew up Baptist. I have no idea. Puff the Magic Dragon.
Something happened to Al. I'm staying out of that room.
And frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Connolly.
I hope we didn't just make
Little
light
Jackie
of drugs.
Paper. You know what? I'm hearing these lyrics for the first time. Love that rascal.
Okay, I just stopped the recording. Like, how far do I let him go?
Al's new single. I'm just hearing these lyrics for the first time.
Yeah.
I'm going to stop my side recording before
I say
anything.
That's the name of my album. I've just heard these lyrics for the first time. Penelope by Al.
I hope that gets put to a dubstep. I just heard these lyrics for the first time. First time. First time.
Now, on digital recording, Al Desjano's I've Just Heard These Lyrics for the First Time. Available to you.